The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Loss in our lives takes on many different forms and can be more than just a physical loss. It goes beyond that to include emotional loss, business loss, and loss of personal health. This is Voices for Healing with Kathy Roberts. Today, Kathy and her guests will help you find out that you are not alone in dealing with loss and grief. There are so many different ways to deal with loss. What works for some may not work for others. Together, let's find the solution that you can use. Here's your host, Kathy Roberts.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Voices for Healing Talk Radio. I am your host, Kathy Roberts. In my work as a professional counselor, coach, and educator based in the Maryland suburbs of Washington, D.C., I work with people living with and growing in response to all sorts of loss and change. You can learn more about me and my work on my website, which is kathyroberts.net. And from there, we can connect on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and much more. You can also subscribe to Voices for Healing on iTunes and get regular downloads of this program. I want to let my listeners in the Washington, Baltimore area know that this Friday, July 25th, 2014, I'm speaking at an on-purpose networking for women event called Connections Over Coffee in Columbia, Maryland, on one of my favorite topics, which is Embrace Vitality. If you're in the greater Washington, Baltimore area and you want to attend, you can go to the website of Ginny Robertson. That's G-I-N-N-Y Robertson.com and go to July events, and you can learn about this event at 10 o'clock in Columbia, Maryland. I will also have this posted on my Facebook website later on today. So you can go to Kathy Roberts Counseling on Facebook and also find out more about this event that I'm looking forward to. Before we get started, I want to acknowledge Pathways Magazine for their support of this program. Pathways is a free quarterly journal distributed throughout the Washington, D.C. area. You can pick up a copy at your favorite library or health food store. The summer issue is still available. And for listeners across the nation and around the world, you can read some of what is written in Pathways Magazine at www.pathwaysmagazine.com. Each week, this show features a guest who has expertise in some area of healing loss and finding opportunity in chaos. My wish for everyone listening is that you connect with some of what you hear on the shows and be inspired to use challenges to grow and become your most real, authentic self. Today, my guest is Polly Campbell, author of Imperfect Spirituality, Extraordinary Enlightenment for Ordinary People. Hello, Polly, and welcome to Voices for Healing.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great and happy, happy, happy that you are here with us.
Thank you. Me too. I'm excited.
I want to let our listeners know a little bit about you, and then you and I can dive into our conversation. Polly Campbell's articles on personal development and spiritual practices appear regularly in national publications and blogs. She's also a professional speaker who inspires and energizes audiences with a blend of wit and wisdom. She admits to practicing many of the things she writes and speaks about in her own quest to find more peace, happiness, and sometimes just socks that match. Mm-hmm. The spiritual practices and personal development strategies she practices have also helped her cope with chronic illness, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, and a melanoma cancer scare. Her down-to-earth and imperfect yet practical approach has helped others uncover their own greatest potential and live close to spirit. Polly is also a multitasking wife and mother, an avid player of Candyland, and a forever fan of the University of Oregon Ducks football team from her home in Oregon. I have to say my sister is a Duck alumna. So.
Oh, well, nice. Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of Ducks out there.
Yes. We lost her to the West Coast many years ago, and she's still there. So anyway, Polly, I have to say I love your book. You know, I have been spiritual path for about 30 years and read many, many things. And when I picked up your book, I was thinking, I wonder what I'll get out of this. What's in here for me? And I just read it, and I was on a camping trip with friends, and I kept sharing it with them. I kept saying, you're not going to believe this. Listen to this. Listen here. And one was saying, well, what's in here? What are you getting? And I said, well, let me read you this thing. So it was really, really wonderful to get your take on so much. Your book is really like a little manual for spirituality, a lot packed in.
There really is a lot packed in. And I so appreciate you saying that, because I really wanted it to be practical, something that would hit people in the moment wherever they are.
It really is. And it's also one of these books that you can pick up and like open to anywhere. And, you know, here I just did that. And I opened a chapter 7, which is called Relating to the Imperfection in Others. Mm. And so isn't that something for us also to look at? Look how often we tend to be critical or judgmental of others rather than saying, well, you know, I'm not all that perfect myself. So it reminds me, this is just coming to my mind, and that is Marion Woodman, who's a Canadian Jungian psychologist. And she did a lovely movie with a former guest on the show, Andrew Harvey. And in the movie, she was talking about her relationship with her husband at that point. I don't know how long they'd been married. But she was watching him cut bread in the kitchen on a Saturday or Sunday morning. And she was looking at him, and he was wearing a bathrobe. And, you know, she began to go into that kind of place. Uh-huh. And I am sorry, listeners, but my man mowing the lawn is here right now, and I don't know if you all can hear it. Polly, can you hear that?
I cannot.
Okay, very good. And I hope others can't. I can, so I'm sorry for the distraction.
I'm way through a little bit, but not bad.
Yeah, and it sometimes shakes the whole house, so I apologize. The good news is he's usually done within a few minutes. So anyway, an interruption to the story. But anyway, Marion had this moment of looking at her husband and realizing, well, you know what? He's really not that different from me. And I'm really just as imperfect and human as he is. And isn't that wonderful? And then she really opened to the love for both him and I think herself in that kind of moment. So that was very beautiful.
And we can do the same with your man mowing the lawn, right? Because these are the moments of our lives, and they can be annoyances. They can make us crazy. And believe me, this is my practice, too, with my husband and the situations of my life. Or we can look out there and be grateful for the grass that you have, or the person that's in your kitchen helping with the bread or the coffee or whatever it is. Because those moments of imperfection certainly show up every moment, every day, within us and outside of us. And when we can really take a look at them from another perspective, it can shift everything in our lives. And it's, we don't have to do anything different. We just have to be willing to look at all sides of our lives.
And I just love what you said, and I was trying really hard not to laugh, although I don't know why I ought to be laughing while you're saying it. But it's so interesting. I do this show at the same time every morning, and this is the first time that he's chosen to mow the lawn right now. Uh-huh. He may ring the doorbell later on, folks, by the way. I love what you just said, that in this moment, on this show about imperfect spirituality, as he comes and mows the lawn, we get to practice something that we're talking about, which is moving into the reality and accepting the reality of what is and what we can't control and what we might like to have different than what we have right now, but there's really nothing that we're going to be able to do about it right now. So about the only thing we can do is change our relationship to it. And I was feeling annoyance, you know, look, he's mowing the lawn right now. But when you said what you said, I could feel myself begin to shift inside to, hey, this is exactly what we're talking about. This moment of having something happen unanticipated, unexpected, unwanted, gives us the chance to relate to it differently. Well, there he is. You're right. I have lawn. It's been very rainy here. It's very green. And I have somebody who can come and mow it so that I'm not spending 3 hours on the weekend doing that. So how great is that?
often it's the mess and these moments that really trigger us, and we go off the rails, right? We think, oh, I can't believe this is happening to me, or he's such a jerk, or my boss hates me, or they're being disrespectful of me, when in reality we can really step back and you know, there's things are not black and white. We don't have to be so rigid. We can step back and see the other truths of the moment, too, which are, look at all this, and wow, I have eyes that I can see this with, and huh, I wonder why this is triggering me. That's something to learn about myself. There are always possibilities present in the moment, and we become very narrow often in our approach to those things, and we see initially, oh, that isn't what I wanted, so that must be bad. When in reality, I think it's all cues for us to raise the level of our life.
Yeah, we can get really hung up on how we think it is supposed to be. And I think that's one of the real obstacles for us as we move along in our spiritual lives. Maybe we can begin there and talk about how we think it's supposed to be and how life doesn't show up that way all the time, and how we deal with that.
Yeah, well, and do we want it to show up how we want it all the time? You know, some of the best moments of my life and the greatest opportunity have come when I was in a failure or when things were falling apart, allegedly. And from that rubble then, I met the person I needed to meet, or I you know, even with this book, it was my first book. And it took me a while to sell it. There were other publishers that were interested, and I had people telling me, oh, it's taking too long, you know, maybe what will you do if this doesn't go? And I just always believed that it would land where it needed to land at the time that was right for me. And I actually sold the book a month before my daughter entered kindergarten. And before that, I wouldn't have had time to write the book because I was parenting full-time at that point. So I sold the book. She went to school. I wrote my first book, and it's taken off from there. And I really think that we forget that we are surrounded by this higher energy that will guide us and show us and teach us. And it comes in the form of other people. It comes in the form of our relationship with self. It comes in the form of external things that are coming in and out of our lives. And if we show up and we be present and we engage, we are going to end up maybe not where we wanted to, but just where we need to be. And when we understand that and can settle in with that idea, life becomes easier. It becomes calmer and more peaceful, because in those moments of upset, which still are going to come, there is going to be mess. In those moments of upset, we can sit and say, wow, this isn't what I wanted. I didn't want cancer. I didn't pick rheumatoid arthritis. But within those situations, I was able to find, you know, goodnesses, we call them in my house, or blessings, that have taken my life in the direction that is just the way I need to go for my purpose and my passion. And so what if we don't judge those moments? What if we're just in them with the man mowing the lawn, or the bigger stuff with the cancer or the divorce or the job loss or whatever it is for you? We all have them. We're all going to have them again. What if we can sit in that moment and just pay attention to what's showing up instead of freaking out that it's not going our way? Because maybe it's giving us just what we need. And when we can open to that possibility, it becomes easier to go through them.
And I really think that you're touching on the important part, which is being open to what's showing up. We can get so caught up in how we think it's supposed to be, how we think it's supposed to go, that we can close ourselves off to seeing what is actually showing up that might have an opportunity in it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think we look at things from one view and we think that's not what I wanted, so it's over. I have no chance. I call it, you can be a creator in your life or you can be a complainer in your life. And we are all both. You know, I'm a complainer sometimes. Yesterday, I came home after being out running around and I came and there was just garbage and crumbs and everything all over the floor. And I thought, people, why couldn't you just sweep the floor while I was gone for 3 hours, you know, and I became a complainer. Or you can be a creator and say, oh, there's a dirty floor. Now, how am I going to get that floor clean? And so in the moments of complaint, can you find the ability to see what is the man mowing the lawn and step out of the complaint and become a creator? Okay, how am I going to use this experience to launch my next moment? you know, or create what I want in my life, the feeling that I want in my life. Because here's the thing that we forget. We get to create that. We can choose our thoughts. We are in charge, and our spiritual, our higher energy is within us, waiting to bubble out. And so if we can choose our thoughts and our beliefs, why would we choose those that are unhelpful? Why would I choose to stay in a place of upset because my floor wasn't swept? Instead of saying, hey, will somebody help me sweep the floor? It doesn't have to be bigger than that. There doesn't have to be a bigger drama. A job loss doesn't have to be that anyone hates you or that you're going to be bankrupt in a week. It can be, oh, huh, I lost my job. And in that moment of acceptance, which is simply noticing what is, then you gain clarity. And with that kind of clarity, without all the drama that we often put onto our moments, with that kind of clarity, you know what you need to do next to move yourself into a new place. You know, we create the story. So I'll give you an example of my own life. I was in the doctor's office about 7 years ago now, and the doctor said, you have melanoma, and I need to remove it. And that's what she said. Now, my initial reaction was, I have cancer. People die from melanoma. I have a nine-month-old at home. What am I going to do? Oh, my God, I can't do this. But the reality was I had melanoma, and she needed to remove it. And that's what we did. And it required, in my case, no further treatment. I had a couple of surgeries, and then we were done, fortunately. But had I inflated that experience and gone with my initial reaction, which I'm going to die, I would have had a very different reality. Because whether the disease progressed or not, I would have lived with it differently in the moments in between. And that would have changed my experience of it. And we do this at every point in our life. But if we can reach self-acceptance, if we can go and really slow down, take a breath, and look at what is. This is what is. This is the reality right now. Then we have clarity to create the next moment in a way that suits us better or feels more comfortable or at least cope with the one we have.
What strikes me about that is that we can retrain ourselves to think differently when these things happen. I think of how many people might show up in my office with that diagnosis that you had and talk about and lament, you know, what mm-hmm. has happened and so forth. And that's the way I think that's what we see happening. We see it on TV. Maybe we saw it in our homes growing up. Maybe that's what comes sort of naturally within us to do. But I think we can retrain. And the first part of that retraining is to become aware of what we're doing and aware of the effect it's having on us.
I absolutely agree. I think awareness is really the cornerstone to all of this because it's like, you know, I'm working out and trying to get my body to a healthier spot and maybe drop some weight and just eat better, make better food choices. And what do they tell you about that? They say the only way to notice what you're doing to your body and make healthier food choices is to notice what you're putting in. And, you know, I can't cut out the donuts or the chips or whatever it is I'm eating if I'm not even aware that I'm putting them into my mouth. And so I think that's true with spirituality and personal development and our own inner growth. How do we know what we're thinking and feeling if we're not aware of our thoughts and emotions? And awareness starts in every moment. You know, we have all driven to work or an appointment and not even noticed the stoplights we've gone through. You know, or stop that. Or a song comes on the radio and we don't connect with the music. We don't even listen. We're thinking about paying the bills when we get home. And this is our life, right? It's all these little moments that make up our whole big life. It's all we get. Sometimes it's all we get is these little moments in between. And when we can notice them and be present to them, first of all, life becomes a lot more interesting. It becomes colorful. Because we are really aware when somebody smiles at us or does a kindness or wipes the kitchen counter or looks at us angrily. We're more in touch with the things that make up those moments. But it also is the cornerstone for creating, for choosing our beliefs and our thoughts.
It truly is. Polly, I'm going to interrupt you here for just a moment. We're already at the time for a commercial break, and I want to end with a quote from your book before we continue in our second segment. So hold your thought and stay right with me. Polly writes, if you choose this path of imperfection, three things are certain. One, you'll get lots of practice because each moment provides the possibility for uncertainty and challenge. Two, it will feel hard and downright uncomfortable sometimes. Three, your life will also take on an energy, a peace, a feeling of health and well-being that you can never know by hiding or photoshopping your flaws away. This is freedom, a depth, a divinity, a humor, and ultimately a power. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a short break.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Kathy Roberts is not only an exceptional radio host, she's an exceptional listener and counselor. Kathy appeals to motivated, high-functioning people to help them improve their health and vitality. Kathy can meet you where you are and help you identify what you want. Visit Kathy's website at www.kathyroberts.net or call her at 301-651-0019. Kathy works with both individuals and couples and specializes in grief and depression counseling. Get to know yourself by working with Kathy. Visit kathyroberts.net or call 301-651-0019. Kathy Roberts offers Circle of Voices teleclasses to help you focus your mind, engage your energy, and awaken your inner guide. Through this experiential and interactive series, you will know yourself more and learn to express yourself authentically in your personal life. Visit Kathy's website at kathyroberts.net to find out about this teleclass series, designed to open you to change and engage healing in the fabric of your life. Go to kathyroberts.net. Or call Kathy at 301-651-0019 for more information.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Voices for Healing with your host, Kathy Roberts. If you have a question or comment for the program, please send an email to Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. That's Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. Now back to Voices for Healing.
Welcome back to Voices for Healing. I'm Kathy Roberts. With me today is Polly Campbell. We're talking about her book, Imperfect Spirituality. During the break, Polly and I were just talking about how we can have this image or belief that enlightenment is some kind of bliss, that we arrive at a mountaintop somewhere, and then after that, everything is somehow filled with perfection and wonder, and we don't experience suffering or sorrow or anger or any of those things that we think are difficult emotions anymore. And that's not really it. It's really a moment-by-moment growing awareness of what we're experiencing, and in that awareness, we have choice about how we're going to respond, how we're going to think about things, what we're going to do, what decisions we're going to make. Polly, continue what you were talking about, because you said some really profound things right before the break, and I'd like for you to continue with that thought line as we continue our talk here.
And I think there are some people who are so-called enlightened, where they have this great self-awakening, and they are above the fray. They have a different take on the world. I'm not it. I'm not that person. And if you are, I want to hear. And I'd be so jealous because that must be wonderful. But my enlightenment has to come in the moment. I need to become aware and step in and be present to what the moment is offering, to notice it all. And we think that we have to be different than we are. You know, the book Imperfect Spirituality talks a lot about being where you are and noticing where that place is and who you are in that moment, because that is enough. You do not have to change. You do not have to go somewhere. You do not have to buy my book, right? You don't have to buy any tools to do this. This is uncovering your essence. That's what we're talking about. And awareness is the way of doing that, because when we sit in the moment and really notice with all our senses, we are so visual. You know, we look and we see things, but feel it. Feel the sensation with your skin and smell it and be present to your thoughts. When you can do that in the moments of your life, then each moment has potential for awakening. And what that means is you carry with you a greater calm, a greater peace, a greater awareness, and a greater clarity that will help you create that next moment. And I think this is what life is really about. It's not being perfect. It's noticing the imperfections and celebrating them, and stop trying to hide and deny and blame for all those things that aren't going right in your life. Instead, own them and step in and say, wow, this is not comfortable for me. Huh, I wonder what I can learn from that, and step into that and become an observer. And often when I'm on the book tour and so forth, people ask, you know, isn't this a little self-absorbed? I mean, we have problems in the Middle East, and we have poverty in the world, and we have human rights violations, and how can you? But I'm telling you what, if you are a more peaceful soul, and if you are more self-accepting, accepting of who you are just as you are, you will be kinder to your kids and your husband or your partner. You will be kinder to your neighbor. You will be a better school volunteer. You will be a more compassionate employee or manager. And that can change the world. Because when I reach out from a place of peace, then I am leading with peace and compassion and kindness. And they know, the bigwig scientists know, that that actually spreads. It's contagious, just as happiness is. So when you are peaceful in your own neighborhood, we really have an ability to create world change with this stuff, and it starts with you, and you have all you need right now to do that. But it starts by becoming aware of your beliefs and your behaviors and your actions and your feelings, and you don't have to judge them. You don't have to look and say, oh, it's stupid I did that, or I should lose weight, or I can't believe he did this. You can just say, oh, isn't it interesting that he didn't wipe up the coffee? Or, oh, isn't it interesting that, you know, I just ate a sandwich when I wasn't even hungry? Or, I lost my job. That means I don't have a job to go to. It doesn't have to be, I lost my job, I'll never be employed again. It can be, oh, right now I don't have work. And from that place of calm, possibilities present, and you're able to see them. How many times have you been stuck in the drama and so scared and so uptight by these big things that are going on in your life that you failed to notice the people that were there to help you, or the treatment that showed up? Or, you know, my daughter the other day, she walked in and from her soccer practice, and she wanted a cookie. And I didn't answer her, and that made her upset. She's like, Mom, I'm asking you if I'd already put the cookie on the counter. But she was so upset that I hadn't responded, she walked right by the cookie without even seeing that the cookie was already right in front of her eyes. How many times do we do that in our life? So this is a way of recognizing who you are. And when you do that, your true essence, which is kindness and compassion and love, when you can do that, then you see it in other people. And from there, we can create the next experience that we want.
And so true, so true. And you talked about inner work and activism. And I really think about that a lot, because sometimes activism can, and I think it's great, and I think there's a need for it, and it's important work. And yet at the same time, it can be done from a place where problems are being created that are the same kind of problems that you might be activisting against in some kind of way. So when the inner work is being done, and you're doing that in at the same time, it doesn't have to be an either or. It's not either you're doing inner work or you're an activist. You can be doing both at the same time. And then you get to know more about what Polly and I are talking about, which is what's going on inside of you and how that's being reflected into the outside world and whatever kind of work you're doing. I also think of one of the favorite sayings or mantras of an organization that I'm a part of, which is the American Academy of Psychotherapists, is more curiosity, less judgment. And I think that's something that we can begin to cultivate both within ourselves and in our responses and reactions towards other people, to be curious about whatever is going on rather than immediately snapping to judgment. And I know for one that this is an area that I can use tons more work in, but I love just knowing it and being able to say that to myself. Oh, can I be curious here rather than judgmental? Something I often say to my clients too.
My work too. I mean, and it's my work again and again. You know, I don't think that we reach a place where it's all figured out. I think we reach a place of greater awareness, so we notice when we're doing that again, and we can redirect and make more conscious choices. And I love that. I think curiosity is a huge thing. It's something that I've written about on my blog and in my book quite a bit, because when we're curious, it's pretty hard to be angry. It's pretty hard to be triggered. Life becomes interesting. I remember Kay Hendricks, who, you know, the relationship guru, she told me, she said, next time you're in a heated moment with your partner or somebody you love, wonder. Just start to wonder, huh, instead of responding to whatever they're doing that's triggering you, could you just be in a place of wonder and say, I wonder why he's doing that, or I wonder why I feel so hurt by this. And, you know, that goes to the curiosity thing. When we can stop and be present to our lives, it changes our lives. And but again, this is my work too. I think sometimes we feel that it's easier to go into other habits, other, you know, familiar things. We are depressed over work, so we come home and have a couple of beers, or something stressful is happening at home, so we eat too much ice cream, or we shop too much, or we fall into these behaviors that in the moment may make us feel better. But really what they're doing is keeping us from feeling our larger emotions. And we have to repeat them over and over, because the problem is not going away. The mess is not changing. We're not able to deal with it in a constructive way, because we're in these soft addictions, as Judith Wright calls them, you know, shopping or what are these little ways to change our feelings so we don't have to think about them. And ultimately, it comes back to stopping and, like you said, getting curious, huh, wonder why I feel the need to do this in the first place. And coming back to that, so that we can become the creator in charge, as opposed to living by default and picking up these bad behaviors just to get through the day.
Mm-hmm. And addiction is a way of distancing from ourselves in that way. We're really hungry for something and we don't quite know what it is, so we shop or watch porn or whatever people do. And in doing that, they really don't get to know what's really going on inside. It's a cover for that emptiness or loss or bereftness that in some ways we all feel inside, and we don't know, to varying degrees, and we don't really know how to process that or cope with that or accept it, sit with it, watch it, and find out that, yeah, we might be experiencing that inside of us, but we're also a whole lot bigger than that. We're a lot more than whatever that part is. So,
yeah, I love that you said we're a whole lot bigger than that, because really, I mean, look how expansive we are. And the emotions now, one thing, one place awareness has carried me that's been helpful is just because we're having a negative emotion doesn't mean it's a bad thing. You know, emotions are the cues. When I can sit with them and become aware of them, they have really shown me, oh, yeah, I know you think you want to work with this client because they got big money or whatever it is, but that's not a good thing for you. When my body tightens up or I feel triggered to anger, that's often a clue that I'm being hurt or I'm feeling hurt, and I can go back into that and say, What is this person, what's happening in this dynamic that's leaving me to feel hurt? And then you can decide whether to remain and converse about this or whether to leave. And there are all these dynamics. We don't like to feel uncomfortable. We think somehow we're wrong or bad if we don't feel good all the time. When in reality, they're just giving us information so we can head in the direction that makes us feel better. We can learn something from them if we can be with them instead of trying to disengage. And when we can share those with other people, when we can be that vulnerable, that's a way to relate to the imperfections of others too. Because when I sit down and say, oh, wow, I am feeling really hurt by this, that prompts a discussion, because we want to nurture each other and take care and act compassionately. And that can be a bridge-building thing in your relationship as well.
I want to address one of the things you said, and that was we don't like to feel uncomfortable. And I think that's so true. I see it in my work all the time. And I'm wondering what your perspective is about how can we become more comfortable with the uncomfortable? What can we do? How can we treat ourselves, or what practices do you mention in your book that we can use to get more tolerate, let's use the word tolerate, to in the beginning tolerate discomfort more?
Yeah, tolerate's a great word. I think the first one is like showing gratitude for the lawnmower man. You know, we are going to have little and minor and major disturbances throughout our days. But when we can step into the moment and say, oh, this bugs me, and then reframe that and say, oh, but isn't it great that I live in a place where I can have my lawn mowed too? I think gratitude and appreciation really is important, and number one is because it's easy, and I can do it really quick, which is important in my life as a mother and a worker and all those things that we all do. But it also allows me to get to compassion almost right away. So when I'm feeling really uncomfortable in my emotions, and sometimes the gratitude comes when I catch myself noticing them, right? I don't fly off the handle anymore because I can be with them and say, oh, right. And then there's gratitude. And then I appreciate myself, like, oh, wow, you're really working at this. And look at the life you're creating with that awareness. You know, I think gratitude is huge. Compassion for yourself and others is huge. And this isn't not something I was ever very good at. When I wrote the book, I learned a lot about this. And what self-compassion does is it allows you to stop beating yourself up so that you can move on. It helps you see the scenario, the situation, the error that you made, your flaws, whatever it is, you be accountable to that. But it allows you also to forgive that in yourself and say, oh, yeah, I'm human. And isn't that great? Aren't I lucky that I have this time on the planet? And so I'm going to learn from this, and I'm going to move on through it. And the thing that sold self-compassion to me is, there's a lot of research done about this, and people who treat themselves more compassionately also tend to be more productive, and they reach their goals a lot more often, like 80% more often, because they are not afraid of trying new things, and they're not afraid of getting out in the world, because when you do that, of course, you're going to make mistakes, right? The more engaged you are, the more mistakes you're going to make. Self-compassionate people have the ability to say, wow, dang, I tried that. That felt really uncomfortable. That did not go well. But you know what? I'm human. Good for me for trying. Here's what I learned. I'm going to take it with me and try again down the road. And so they are free. They are not stuck in repeating that hurt over and over. Instead, they are free to move on. And so those two things are the easiest things that I can do in that moment. I do others, too. I do meditate. I do, you know, mine are very short, actually. I do three-minute meditations right now. I practice mindfulness. There are a lot of ways, and they all really come back to knowing where you are in the moment and then choosing how to think about that and how to feel about that. But gratitude is the fastest one. Stop where you are right now and name out loud one thing you're grateful for, and then allow yourself to feel that emotion coming in. The emotion of gratitude. And when you do it, it'll take you 2 minutes. When you do it, you will feel a change in your body. When our physiology changes, our brain also changes, the way we feel about the world changes, and you will be a different person going forward.
Do that right now, folks, as you're listening to Polly and I continue our conversation. Think of something you're grateful for, and then don't just think of it, but really feel into your body the experience of that gratitude, because that's what's really important, not just naming it and acknowledging it, but actually embodying it. I think that's really a significant thing. I'm glad you said it. I'm going to just let people do that for another moment. I think doing that for about 17 seconds is what they say is really, really a super amount of time. You do it for longer if you can, but 17 seconds minimum. You know, as you were talking about the people who are more compassionate with themselves and they take more risks and in that way reach more of their goals, I'm thinking of what can hold me back sometimes and what I think also holds other people back. And that is a fear. And what the fear is about for me and probably many of us is something about shame and how we are afraid of how we will look to others or what others might think about us or how we will feel about, this is the most important part, I think, is how we will feel when we imagine what others might be thinking or feeling, because what I've come to learn is nobody's paying nearly as much attention to me as I am. So, you know, they're not even noticing or thinking about it. But I think that fear of shame can be something that can really get in the way. And as you were talking about having compassion for yourself, I think that's one area that we can really shine that light of compassion on, is when we do feel some kind of embarrassment or shame, and how deep that can feel in us. And, you know, we're coming up on a break. I would love for you to comment on what I just said, but I think I'd like to go out for our break first and then come back with your comments. So I'm going to switch a little bit on the way out and talk about the topic of surrender, which Polly writes about in Imperfect Spirituality. And she says, to give up our attachments and disconnect from our desires. Desires are fine, by the way. It's our attachment to them that keeps us stuck and frustrated. To let go of our stories and our pain and our projections of what we think our life ought to be is a relief. We're going to take a break, short break, and Polly and I will be right back.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be. Listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Kathy Roberts offers Circle of Voices teleclasses to help you focus your mind, engage your energy, and awaken your inner guide. Through this experiential and interactive series, you will know yourself more and learn to express yourself authentically in your personal life. Visit Kathy's website at kathyroberts.net to find out about this teleclass series, designed to open you to change and engage healing in the fabric of your life. Go to kathyroberts.net or call Kathy at 301-651-0019 for more information. Kathy Roberts is not only an exceptional radio host, she's an exceptional listener and counselor. Kathy appeals to motivated, high-functioning people to help them improve their health and vitality. Kathy can meet you where you are and help you identify what you want. Visit Kathy's website at www.kathyroberts.net or call her at 301-651-0019. Kathy works with both individuals and couples and specializes in grief and depression counseling. Get to know yourself by working with Kathy. Visit kathyroberts.net or call 301-651-0019.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be. Listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Voices for Healing with your host, Kathy Roberts. If you have a question or comment for the program, please send an email to Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. That's Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. Now back to Voices for Healing.
As we begin our concluding segment of the program, I want to thank my colleagues at the Core Constellation Center in Rockville, Maryland, for their support of this program. Polly, tell us about any upcoming events you have and how our listeners can reach you.
You know, actually right now I'm taking a couple weeks off this summer and I'm finishing my third book, which should be out early next year. But I'm out and about and you can find me at www.imperfectspirituality.com. And the book is sold at Amazon and your neighborhood bookstore, which I love. And anywhere books are sold, if you don't see it on the shelves, ask them and they'll send it. Find me on Facebook under Imperfect Spirituality. There's a page. And I'm also under Polly Campbell there. But my website, imperfectspirituality.com, will list the upcoming events, which will start back up in the fall. And then I'll be out again with this book and my next one early next year.
Very good. What was your second book?
My second book was How to Reach Enlightenment. And that was a guidebook for people who really want to learn what mindfulness means and what meditation is and what it takes. And it talks about the spiritual buzzwords a little bit so people can get a real idea of how this, you know, which practices they want to adapt and adopt and create their own in their life.
That's great. And I love what you said about creating their own, because I think we're moving into a realm where getting our own intelligence and our own knowing of what is important for us and creating our own life and our own spiritual practices and our own rituals is all really important now. So I love that you said that
part. You know, yeah, on that note, I'm really passionate about that because I think one of the barriers to living more spiritual life and a more connected life is really how I see spirituality, is connecting to that higher energy that we hold within. people think there's a right and wrong way to do it. And if they can't go to India to meditate, or if they don't want to meditate at all, that they're just a lost soul and there's no point. And that's really not it. It's finding how to integrate it into your day in the ways that help you connect and help you be who you are. And so, yeah, I think find the ways of doing that in your life. And there's not a wrong way to do this.
And hear that, everybody. There's no wrong way to do it. I just think that's important for everybody to know and hear again and again and again. Well, before we went out on our break, I was talking about how some of our beliefs about ourselves or our thoughts about shame or embarrassment can get in the way of us moving forward sometime. And then I read the quote from Polly's book that talked about giving up our attachments and about surrender. I thought maybe we could pick up there and talk about that and how we can let go of our stories and our pain and projections and move into something that can be more self-compassionate and more compassionate towards others.
Well, I absolutely think this is something that we all face, and surrender is tricky, you know, and it's tricky for me, and I have a new understanding of it now, but I'll tell you an example from my own life. When the book first came out, it was very well received, which pleased me, but there were a few people who didn't love it also, and one of them went on Amazon and wrote a scathing critique, and it really bugged me. So instead of seeing the 20 that were favorable, right, I honed in on this one, and I felt embarrassed, and I felt ashamed, and I felt like, oh, you know, it just really, I felt embarrassed. But as time went on, I started thinking about that. And what I realized is this person who critiqued me didn't leave his or her name. It was anonymous. And I thought, you know what? I'm out there in the world. I'm putting my neck out. I'm putting my work out because I believe in this, and I think it's important, and at least I'm showing up. So if people want to connect with me in the world, then they need to show up too. And if they can't, if they're at a place in their life where they don't have the courage or the desire to do that, that's fine too, but you're not going to get my attention anymore. And that helped me kind of surrender. Then I had to go through the process of surrender, which I'm going to talk about, because not only do you have to get over the shame and come to some clarity about those moments that we all have, but you have to let it go. And that can be a trickier thing. I think it happens on three levels. I think we need to release it from our soul. I think we need to let our body relax and release it from our body and move to a more peaceful physical environment. And I think we have to stop thinking about it so much, right? So we have to let it go from our mind. So the soul's purpose in surrender is really to make a commitment to let go of the lower energy stuff that's dragging you down, and to believe and to know that there is a higher purpose for all that is this. And whatever that higher purpose is up to you, maybe their higher purpose is just to meet a new friend on the way to work, or maybe your higher purpose is to get closer to God. I don't care what it is for you. There's not a wrong higher purpose for you, right? So hear that. You can do this however you need to do it. But there has to be a coming together between the energy that's within you, your inner energy, and this knowledge, this inner wisdom that says, it's all okay. I'm where I need to be. So I may be uncomfortable, but this is just where I need to be, this discomfort. So I'm going to let it go with the knowledge that it will be taken care of, right? So that's the soul's purpose in surrender. Then you got to move your body into a more peaceful place, because I'll tell you what, when I'm having a hard time writing or I'm feeling angst over a critique on Amazon or whatever it is, and I'm sitting hunched over the computer, that is not creating a peaceful environment for me. I need to go outside or go look at the ocean or walk in my yard or pet my kitty or play with my kid. I need to move myself physically to a place that feels better, that connects me to the world that I am a part of in a real physical way. Sometimes I'll take off my shoes and I'll just go sit in the grass so I can feel the grass on my feet, smell flowers, whatever it is for you, move your body into a more positive place. And then I have to remind myself that I let it go, because here's what we do as human beings. We come back to this hurt over and over. I can't believe I did that. Oh, I can't believe my mom read that. Oh, I can't believe I said that. What are they thinking about me? Oh, I can't, I'm never going to fit in. And we ruminate, right? So surrender is not only a spiritual thing and a physical thing, But it has to become a conscious thought pattern where we say, oh, right, I don't need to go there anymore. I've already thought about that, and I let that go. And you might have to do that 100 times in a minute. You might have to do that 100 times in your day. The hurt may be so big, you might have to remember, right, I don't have to feel that anymore. I don't have to hold on that anymore. And soon what happens is the energy behind it is diffused, right? You have to do all this without expecting anything in return. It's a conscious effort where you're telling yourself and teaching yourself to release the baggage that is keeping you down. But in time, the emotion behind it that often keeps us stuck and hurting becomes diffused. We have an expansive attitude about it. We're able to see it differently. And this is a lot of times what happens with loss. When we're suffering in a relationship or we lose a relationship or there's a death, we reach a point in that experience where we have to, right, it's not my relationship anymore and that hurts and I got to let that go, right? And we do. And over time, that letting go becomes diffused and we are able to move through it. So whatever your process is, understand that it's going to connect you on all three of these things, all three of these levels. And understand, too, that it's a very conscious effort. You know, this stuff just doesn't happen. I think spirituality and these practices are animating. I think they infuse us with energy. But we have to do them. They don't just, I don't just get a moment where, okay, I'm tired of feeling bad. Let's be done. You know, it's not that for me. I have to work this stuff and I have to activate it. And when I do, what it yields in return is greater wisdom and awareness than anything I've had before. But it is a process for me, for sure, with surrender.
Yeah, and it is a practice, and I'm glad you pointed it out, that it doesn't just happen. You know, what happens instead, and we've had guests on the show before who have neuropsychology backgrounds who talk about how we are wired for negativity in a kind of way so that we can have, you know, five people compliment us on how great we look. But the one who says, it looks like you've gained a little weight today, Kathy, is the one who, you know, keeps me up at night. And so it's really important, I think, and it's part of our kindness to ourselves to recognize that this is something that's hardwired into us, but that doesn't mean we have to keep it and hold on to it. We can use practices like you just described three of and like others have talked about before on here that can help us retrain, reframe how we think about things so that we can have more peace and let go of things that are harming us physically. And I loved what you said about the soul, that the soul's purpose is to let go of the lower energies, is what you said. And that is not, the soul's purpose is not always, when we are aligned with the soul's purpose, we don't always look like we are aligned with the culture of the community that we live in. And so that's one of the things to keep in mind when you're doing this practice that Polly suggested and you're thinking, well, geez, you know, it's really, I'm really feeling in my body that this is what I'm supposed to do. But what's somebody going to think if I'm 40 years old and I let my hair go silver and don't color it when I live in this culture where most people aren't doing that, for example? And we can pay attention to that and begin to learn what's right for us no matter what. Polly, we just have a few minutes left. I wonder if there's a closing comment or two that you would like to share with people, maybe two major points that you want to leave our listeners with.
Well, I think we need to remember that we are enough right now. Right now, and I believe this, and I see this showing up in all of our lives, you don't have to be any different. You just need to access wholly who you are. Fully, wholly, as in wholey, the whole of your being. It is enough to do this stuff, right? And I think also the second part of that is examine your motivation. If you want to color your hair because that's going to be fun for you, go color your hair. If that's fun, if that makes you feel good, that's fine. But if you feel like you need to color your hair to be lovable or accepted, examine that before you go forward, because I think there is a difference. I think we are expansive, growing beings, and growth is part of our nature. And when we are doing that because we truly want to understand and live and engage in this world, that's great. When we are doing it to try to be accepted and worthy, you've already got that. You are enough right now. You don't have to do anything different to be accepted. And know that about yourself, and others will see that within you.
beautifully said. The two points Polly's leaving us with is to be wholly you, and that wholly is wholly, to be whole in yourself, and be aware that you have choice so that you can move, be aware and have that awareness so that you can really move into choice and have your choice. There's a discussion on one of my Facebook pages this morning about the silver gray hair. That's why it was so much in my mind this morning. And I love it, love it, love it. So, well, as we begin to come to a close here, I really hope that those of you who are listening will check out Polly's books. I'll put that, make that a plural, and Imperfect Spirituality, and her second book about enlightenment. Polly really has a lot to say. I know you heard that. Just you can tell who she is by the energy that comes through through the internet lines or wherever you're listening from. So I really think that I hope you've enjoyed the show a great deal. I have. So thank you, Polly, for joining me today.
Such a pleasure. Thank you for having me. I love talking about this stuff, so I appreciate you having me.
Oh, that's great. Just hang on for a minute at the end of the show, and I'll be with you. Listeners, join us next week. Author Melissa Dalton Bradford will join me to talk about her book, On Loss and Living Onward. Melissa's son died in a tragic swimming accident 7 years ago, and her book is a poignant tribute to her son, and it's a value to his to anyone who has lost a loved one. Until next week, this is Kathy Roberts. Transform your life. Embrace vitality. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Voices for Healing. Please join Kathy Roberts again next Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We wish you the best recovery from your loss, and we'll talk again next week.